What an awesome day we have today. It's done a good South African deed for us. You're nice and cool down there. Enjoy it. I'm shooting the bullets over here. All right. Folk, if you would, please turn with me to Jonah chapter 1, one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament. And I'm going to put a challenge out to the church today. We did it for our cell group. So cell group, remember, starts today. To read the Bible in the year. Two of the old and one of the new. Two chapters of the old, one chapter of the new every day. All right? And you'll read the Bible through in 1 year. And that's a challenge. Due to the Bible students, if you come here, you're going to have to read five books of the Bible every time. Sometimes it's more than that. But I challenge you. We need to draw closer to God, and how are we going to do that? But by the Word of God. All right? So let's start that. Something new, something different. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, now this message from the Lord came to Amittai, son of Jonah. Get up and go to Nineveh, a great city. Then cry out in protest against it, because their evil has come to my attention. But Jonah got up and fled from the Lord to Tarsus. He went down to Joppa, secured a passage on a ship aboard for Tarsus. He paid the fare and boarded, intending to go with the mariners to Tarsus to escape the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind over the sea, and a severe storm broke out, and it seemed as if the ship were about to break up. At this point, the mariners became terrified, and each man cried out to his gods. They began to throw the cargo into the sea in order to lighten the vessel. But Jonah had gone down into the vessel's hold, had laid down, and was fast asleep. Oh, sorry. So the captain approached him and told him, "What are you doing asleep? Get up, call your gods. Maybe your God will think about us so that we won't die." Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to start reading from verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filled. But he was in the stern, sleeping on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" When he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still," the wind ceased and there was great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" An elderly mountain farmer had been involved in an accident between his mule-drawn wagon and a car driven by another man. Now the farmer was suing the driver, claiming personal injuries as a result of the accident. When the farmer was on the stand, the attorney of the driver of the car said, "Tell me, sir, isn't it true that after the accident you said that you'd never felt better in your life?" Well, the farmer began, "That morning I got up, hitched my mule to the wagon, put my dog in the seat beside me, and I started down the road." The lawyer interrupted him and said, "Please, just give me a simple answer, yes or no, to the question." At this point, the judge intervened. He said to the lawyer, give him a chance. Let him tell his story. Let him answer your question in his way. Well, the farmer began again. That morning I got up, hitched the mule to the wagon, and put the dog on the seat beside me, and I started down the road. And just as I got over the rise, this big car barreled into my rear end. My mule was knocked to one side of the road, my dog to another, the other side, and I was pinned under the seat. A policeman came along, seeing that the mule had broken its leg, pulled out his pistol and shot him dead. He walked over to the dog. Seeing that it was hurt really badly, he shot the dog as well. Then he came over to me and asked, well, how are you feeling? And sure enough, I said, I've never felt better in my whole life. Folk, we're facing 2017. The future, we do not know. We know what 2016 held. And for many of us, it brought a great anxiety. Just as with this farmer, anxiety has an effect on how we view life and how we respond to the stresses of life. Believe it or not, 2016 has an effect on how you're going to view 2017. That gun in the policeman's hand made the farmer an anxious man. And he responded accordingly. This morning I want to say this to you. I believe that God's saying to us, be anxious for nothing. Everyone knows Jonah tried to run away from God. But instead of going to Nineveh, he wanted to go to Tarsus. He ran down, went to Joppa, got on the ship. And he went below and slept. And I believe we need to take note of that. Because in Mark chapter 4, Jesus went into the hull of the vessel and fell asleep as well. But they're two different scenarios. Do you think Jesus was anxious? Or was he just simply exhausted from teaching? I think he was tired from teaching. Tired from the work that he'd been doing. And he needed rest. But with Jonah, he wasn't tired. He was guilty. He was walking around with a guilt complex. He knew that God had called him to go to Nineveh. So he goes down and sleeps. That's what stress and anxiety does to each and every one of us. It eventually gets to the point that you're having sleepless nights. You become lethargic. You become exhausted. And you don't know what to do with yourself. So you go to sleep. Jonah almost cost the lives of everybody on board that boat that day until he decided to listen to God. And maybe I'm being unfair here, but I don't think I am. We've all had anxiety. We've all had stress in 2016. And we have become exceptionally tired, not just from the workload of in the workplace, but in everywhere else. And folk, we need to wake up and realize, don't be anxious about everything. God is in control. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Today we have a great storm in our country. Now everybody starts stressing, what now? Yes, there is a great storm. We know it. We've seen it. Morality is a thing of the past. The Bible says in the last days they will call good evil and evil good. What's happening? They're trying to get us pastors not to preach the word of God. You know what? They tried that for how many thousands of years, have never succeeded. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The word will go out. The more pressure they put on, the greater the word goes out. The Bible, we surely see that happening today. The president, who's only a reflection of the people that he leads, is guilty of the grossest immorality in politics that we've ever seen in our lifetime. The storm in our country is killing babies every day. Crime has sent millions to God. Oh, the storm is killing our people. And we're asleep in the bow. There's a great storm in our families today, folk. Mom and dads are lovers of self more than lovers of God. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, let's party on, is the theme of the day. Our poor children are watching us, reading us like a book. And that's not the Bible. Some other book they're reading. Oh, the storm that our families face today. Children are free to stay out to all hours of the night. And we don't care where they are or how long or what they are doing. Dad reads Playboy, Mom reads romantic novels, and the Bible is on a shelf somewhere or in a cupboard, or where's that thing? And you ask, where's your Bible? There's a storm in our family, friends, and we're asleep in the bow. There's a storm in our church today. Oh, hang on, hold on. It's not true. I didn't say church, I meant churches. Okay? There's a storm in our churches today. There's nothing wrong in the church. How can there be anything wrong? Sure there is. We want to fire the pastor because he's preaching too long. There is a storm. When prayer meetings are thrown out for some other activity, there is a storm. When we're not praying and not winning souls, listen people, people are going to go to hell while we're sitting taking a nap. When life group gets cancelled because of lack of interest, there's a storm in the church. There's a storm in our church. Is there somebody who will stop the storms for us, please? Somebody here that can stop the storms? Might be you. Might be your family, your church, your country. Surely someone cares. Things are not okay. And folk, it's those type of things that bring upon us the attitude that Jonah was going through. Those storms on the outside were being reflected on the inside, and he had a major storm on the inside of his life. It's a storm on the inside that started bringing stress, anxiety, and worry into Jonah's life. And when he began to listen, God began to do a change in his life. And things changed. Let's be honest this morning as I ask this question. How many of you have experienced stress? It's not a new thing, is it? Stress and anxiety, worry, brings about fatigue and sleeplessness, irritability. You see, it sneaks up on you and it just grabs hold of you, and suddenly you know you've got it. Because every muscle in your body is tense. You tighten up and there's not a peaceful state in your mind at all. There's no peace in your mind. You're continually running over the same old thing all the time and time again. this keeps up long enough, we lose control of our lives and that situation. We get in a hurry. We're worried because we can't get where we want to be. Or when we're under pressure because of a deadline, we know that we're going to have to work doubly hard and we're just not getting there. Those are things that threaten us to lose something we regard as valuable. And we're not sure we can avoid that loss. Stress comes naturally to all of us. But if we repeatedly experiencing anxiety and worry and get stressed out, these emotions can have a terrible effect upon us. In fact, in Proverbs 12 verse 25 it says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. According to a medical report in 1998, Dr. Benson, at Harvard Medical School, said this, that between 60 and 90% of the doctor's visits are stress-related diseases, including hypertension, infertility, insomnia, and cardiovascular diseases. Dr. Charles Mayo once observed, worry affects the circulation of the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system. I have never known any man to die from overwork, but a man who died from doubt. So what does the Bible tell us about stress and anxiety? Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 25, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat today or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Again, Jesus speaks in Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Folk, that's what the Bible tells me. Does it say, go and stress? Go and be anxious? No, it says be anxious for nothing because He cares for you. But as Christians, God says to us, this attitude should not be allowed to control us. This anxiety. God commands us to recognize the sources of the stress and anxiety in our lives and to deal with them His way, not our way. So often we get so anxious and stressful because we can't do anything about it. But why should you do anything about it? Did He not say in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So why worry about the situation? But what is it that causes this negativity? And I've got a few points over here that I'm going to deal with very quickly. Words. Negative words cause us to stress. I was listening to Steve Furtick, and he was also talking about this thing as well. But he made this statement. He says, if we cannot end a sentence with, that's just the way I've always wanted it, then it must not be spoken. Oh, I'm so sick. You know, that's just the way I've always wanted it. That's negativity. That brings a storm into your life. It brings the wind blowing. And it brings the waves that are flooding out that you feel like you're drowning. Oh, that's just the way I've always wanted it. How about it? I'm so well. That's just the way I've always wanted it. Isn't that being positive? Hey? Folk, that's just the way I've always wanted it. I think if we start putting that at the end of our words, it'll stop us talking negative. I believe it's time that we get to that point. It's negativity that causes stress and anxiety. The second one is this, the approach. Many times, it's the way we approach a situation in fear because we don't know what's going to happen. The fear of the unknown. Why should we fear the unknown? If God cares for us, there's nothing for us to be anxious about. He's not going to give us a snake when we ask Him for bread. We have a God that cares for us, and therefore we need to approach situations prayerfully and in the Lord. Let God show us what to do, not man. Many times we approach a situation because we've lent our ears out instead of listening to what God has to say. And then the wrong voices create anxiety. People are depressing. Listening to them is depressing. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. But folk, you get those people that are just bloodsuckers. Man, they suck the very energy, they're energy vampires. Because of their negativity, every second thing is something that's negative. Their lives are so negative, the storm is so great in their lives, they don't know how to deal with it. They've got to get out of that. Start talking positive. One stage my son was so negative. I said to him, you know what? I don't want to talk to you, man. Why, Dad? I said, look at the positive side of things. Don't look at the top half of the glass that's empty. Look at the bottom half of the glass that's full. Folk, we need to start finding positives in life. For everything, I had the opportunity of talking to the bachelor students on counseling the ones. And I made them draw a picture. And the pictures that came out were so negative, I said, okay, now turn it upside down and have a look at it. And then reinterpret your picture. It became so positive, they looked at it and they said, wow. Folk, turn that negative situation upside down so that you can see the positive at the top. Turn that iceberg around and let's see the positive side of it. Our expectations make waves. Don't overcommit yourself. Sometimes we're so overcommitted, we don't know which way to turn. Take some irons out of the fire so that you can spend the time with God. The last point is this, is many times there's shame in our lives. We're ashamed because of something we've done. Or there's a guilt. Someone has put a guilt trip on us. Or we know that we're supposed to be serving God and we're not doing that. So we run away to try and get to Tarsus. And we go and sleep in the hull of the boat. Because of that guilt within us. The shame that we're trying to run away from a living God that cares so much for us that He died on the cross for us. But we want to do our own thing. God, I did it my way. Folk, that causes shame in our lives. And it's time to bring an end to it. Colossians, it tells us to cast off the old man and put on a new man. Today, folk, I want us to take that shame and cast it off. As we look at 2017, let's get rid of the old man. Let's get rid of those things that caused negativity in our lives, caused us to be anxious, caused us to worry about tomorrow. You see, because it's that anxiety. It's not the wind and the waves outside that cause anxiety within us. It's the wind and the waves inside of us that cause the waves and the storms. In James chapter 1 verse 6 it says this, but he must ask in faith without doubting. For one who has doubt is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Ouch. You see what the storms do in your life? They cause you to doubt the very prayers that you've taken to God. And folk, as we take inventory of 2016, there are things that we have to get rid of. Get rid of them. And look towards 2017 with new eyes. Ask God to open the eyes of your heart and the eyes of your mind so that you might be able to see the direction in which He wants you to go. We don't have to exercise anxiety and worry. When we deal with difficulties in our lives and the problems come along that are too big for us to handle, it's not going to change by our strength. Folk, I can assure you today, it does not change by your strength. I've been there, I've got the t-shirt, and I know what I'm talking about. If you stress and worry about something, you know what? It makes you lethargic, it makes you sleepy, it makes you useless for yourself and for the world around you. Folk, we've got to take those situations and place them in the hands of God and say, Father God, I'm sorry I tried to do this on my own. Can you please fix the mess that I've caused? When we're faced with overwhelming difficulties, things we can't handle, and we're still looking at ourselves, we need to turn away and start looking to Jesus. Jesus was caught in that storm in Mark 4. 37 through 41. He stood up and he rebuked the sea and the wind. He said, quiet, be still. Then he turned around and he said to his disciples, where's your faith? Don't you have any faith yet? Folk, maybe it's a harsh question to ask the church today. Where's our faith? Don't we have any faith yet to believe that God can heal, that God can take us out of those difficult situations, that He can open our eyes and lead us down a path where He wants us to go? Or do we just look at all the empty chairs in the church and say, oh, look how bad it is. It's not bad. There's lots of chairs that are full. Thank you, Jesus. Folk, it's time for us to realize God does care for you and I. But through those three words that Jesus spoke, when he said, quiet, be still, I believe he is talking to each and every one of us as we go through those anxiety or those anxious moments. Because I don't believe that the disciples went to wake him up and say, hey, come, save us. And I believe Jesus is telling us to be brave and deal with the anxiety. I want to take an acronym from the word brave, and I want us to try and put this into place. Because I believe it works. B-R-A-V-E. That's what it is. B stands for breathe. When you're anxious, you battle to breathe. You know what, folk? When God created man, He breathed life into man, didn't He? And that's a prayer that I believe that God gives us. It brings us to a point of breathing. I want you to just breathe right now, slowly in. Slowly out. Doesn't it help you to relax? Doesn't it take that stress away? So breathe is the first one. Breathe the breath of life. Life that Jesus gave you into your life. R stands for remember. Before Jesus got into the boat, he said to the disciples, let's go over to the other side. Remember what Jesus has spoken to you. Right here this morning, he said, yes, I am coming. Remember, I love you. Isn't that what the word was this morning? He said, you guys are special. That word that this year is going to be a different year. Remember what God has spoken. Don't look at the storm of life right now that's trying to prevent you from getting over to the other side. God has given you something that you need to achieve. Keep your eyes focused on the goal. Remember the goal that God has set for you. Ask. Make your requests known. You do not have because you do not ask. Folk, we need to ask God to lead us and guide us. We need to ask God to show us what He wants us to do in 2017 and how to achieve it. Remember, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so His ways and plans higher than our ways and plans. Visualize. We need to open the eyes of our hearts and visualize God standing right next to us. You might be in a stormy situation right now where the winds and the waves are blowing. But you know what? There's only two steps, footprints in the sand. And those are the footprints of Jesus as He holds you up. Visualize Jesus standing right at your side, holding you up, helping you through that storm. Begin to visualize it. See it in your spiritual eyes, knowing that He cares for you. The last point is this: elevate. If I say elevate, what I want to, folk, we went into a time of worship this morning. That's elevation. Elevate. Begin to worship God. Begin to worship Him. He's worthy of worship. He's worthy of it. More than you and I can ever comprehend. Even the angels worship Him. It's time that we begin to worship. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Even just that is enough to give us room to worship. There will always be times when we're faced with situations that we cannot control. You cannot change. And which will cause you to be overwhelmed with fear, worry, and anxiety. In those times, it's critical for you to remember that even if the situation itself never changes, God still understands. He still cares for you. You're that special. Even if you were the last person standing alive in this place, I tell you what, God still cares for you. I want to close with this morning. During an evangelistic meeting in Ireland, a speaker was explaining what it means to abide in Christ and to trust Him completely in every trial. Concluding his message, he repeated several times, to abide in Christ and trust in Him completely means that in every circumstance, you need to keep on saying, for this I have Jesus. For this I have Jesus. For this I have Jesus. At the end of the meeting, the church where he was preaching allowed testimony time after the sermon. The young lady who had been behind the piano stood up and said, I have to leave shortly, so I'd like to be the first to testify. Just a few minutes ago, I was handed a telegram. It reads, Mother is very ill. Take a train and home immediately. When I saw these words, I knew that tonight's message was meant just for me. My heart looked up and I said, For this I have Jesus. Instantly, a peace and a strength flooded my soul. After a pause, pausing a moment, she continued, I've never traveled very far alone, but for this I have Jesus. And for all the stress, the strain and the suspense that goes on with the thought of Mother's seriously ill, I praise God that for this too I have Jesus. Folk, I want to say this to you today as we go into 2017. But for this, I have Jesus. No matter what the situation might be, cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Let's do that today. Right at the start, let's take these words of encouragement. Let's breathe. Let's remember. Let's ask. Let's visualize and let's worship. Elevate God as we face those trials. Remember, for every trial, there's a chance for victory. It's the victory that we need. So let's be brave and face the storms that come our way. Amen. Just bow our heads. Father, many of us have faced 2016 with many trials, but yet there have been many instances of victory, of joy, of many joyful things. And today, Father, I just pray for each one here that we will forget about those things that caused stress and anxiety, that we will cast them off as we're supposed to cast, take off old garments and put on a new garment. Cast the old man off, those things that caused us distress. But might we face 2017 with a new vision in life to allow you to have your way in our lives. To allow you that we might walk in faith, knowing that you do care for us, no matter what it is that we are facing, we can face it today because of your strength, because you care for us. No matter what it is, you are in control. I pray, Father, that you lead us and guide us, that we might be brave enough to face that storm and to rebuke it by saying, quiet. Be still, just as you did the storm on the Sea of Galilee. So, Father, I pray for each one here today that as we face life in 2017, you will be the center of our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.